Be seated, please. Murder mysteries are my go-to genre of recreational escape reading. It seems I'm not alone in this. Doing a quick Google search revealed sites such as over 140 mysteries featuring crime-solving clergy, British clergy mysteries, mysteries with vicars, and more. It is more difficult to find listings of clergy who are mystery writers, but they do exist as well, as we know. Inevitably, there is a puzzle of some type involved in these stories, hence mystery. The procedural information, both on the criminal side and on the apprehenders of criminal side, and the atmosphere inherent in the genre can vary greatly, and the whole mix contributes to my fascination. I do insist on some credible character development as well as clever plotting if I'm going to stick with a book to the end. I'm getting better at bailing out than I used to be. My former habit was to give the author every chance, every page, including the last one, to redeem herself or himself. No more. As I'm aware now of what escaped me earlier in my life, there are so many books and so little time. And that, of course, applies to all my reading, including psychology and spirituality and so on, not just the stuff of fictional murder and mayhem. That might seem a strange opening for a sermon, especially one based on readings about loving God and neighbor. But it may be explained by another aspect for my love for literature of all types. The discernment of patterns, even in the absence of the puzzle and murder mysteries. The search for or discovery of pattern is important to me in life as well as in literature. Somewhere I've read, several places, that this pattern seeking is a human instinct for all of us to some degree. The pattern, or theme, if you will, in today's readings, at least as I see it this time around, and any time I fail to say this is the way it is, if I don't include as I see it this time around, you can add that parenthetical expression yourself, has given me rise to my reflection on mystery stories. The authors of Leviticus and Matthew, writing at a 700-year divide, produced strikingly similar declarations about the relationships among human beings and human beings and God. They write of the centrality of love. In Leviticus, it's the legal language of Moses, God's chosen servant and spokesman. In Matthew's gospel, it's Jesus, of course, who speaks to his immediate audience, the crowd surrounding him, a largely hostile crowd, and to all women and men in all times, whether he was aware of that in the moment or not. In the 6th or 7th century BCE, Leviticus, the book of laws, Moses pronounces this law of love. Jesus literally fleshes out, incarnates that law, not only Moses' declaration on Mount Sinai, but all of the law, with its 613 commandments or mitzvot, dealing with everything from diet to clothing to treatment of livestock. And by extension, all the laws and commandments of Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, and so on. That is, all the law and the prophets. The big problem is that Moses' followers seem not to have listened to him. At least they failed to have put that law into action. Then any number of prophets, those we meet in the pages of Holy Scripture and those whose writings didn't make the cut, all made the same basic proclamation: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And they didn't produce much better results. And then our story of faith tells us God, the supreme being, came into this world as a human being, as one of us, making the same pronouncement in his answer to a lawyer's cynical questions. And he was killed for his efforts. Not assassinated like Lincoln or Gandhi, but executed. We need to remember this, I think. Executed through orderly, well-defined legal means, skillfully manipulated by his enemies. Well, there's a pattern for you. Declarations of the power of love and failure to live up to them. Now, let's be honest with ourselves here. We Christians haven't exactly turned the world around or earned top marks on this count ourselves. As a matter of fact, to be brutally honest, we've committed some heinous acts in the name of the Prince of Peace. This principal and unique promoter of love God with all your being and love your neighbor as yourself. Crusades, anti-Semitism, other forms of racism, and so on, all based at one time or another on skewed readings of Scripture. What's that I hear? Or some of you whispering, or at least thinking very loudly, where's the good news, Michael? Here it comes. If we do what Jesus calls us to do, the Jews do what Moses calls them to do, the Muslims, Muhammad, and so on, and so on, we will collectively continue to do better, to contribute to a converted global family. We will, by God's grace, create, or better, recover a better world. Well, the world that the God of all of us, regardless of religious label, created. A world in which peace and love finally reign supreme. Anticipating, projecting some objections to my sounding like Christianity, with its hopes and promises, is no different from any other religion or moral movement. Well, it is. We are brothers and sisters of all who have gone before us in our faith, and all of those yet to come. And all of us believe that Jesus Christ has shown in palpable flesh and blood fashion God's victory over hatred, enmity, and even death. This is the story of our faith. Our faith is the lens through which we see and understand the necessity of truly loving God and truly loving neighbor. We have a mission here and now in this world to be bearers of the truth of the power of love and light over hate and darkness. We must continue by all means possible to move under the influence of Christ's loving example. We're not undone by the church's failures in the past. We're grateful for the thousands of instances of self-sacrificing love that abound in this world, many of them begun and championed by Christians like you and me. many by our brothers and sisters of other faiths or those who profess no faith, but all under God's influence. These acts of mercy and compassion continue to move us in our individual lives and as part of human society that can and will overcome all that seeks to impede that progress. The pattern in this mystery, remember I started talking about mystery, the pattern in this mystery is right there in Leviticus. Love your neighbor as yourself. And in Jesus' own words, love the Lord your God with all of yourself and love your neighbor as yourself. And especially in Jesus' promise that all the law and the prophets, everything else, depends upon these two commandments. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.